And I think it's very appropriate, the next thing, and he says, and he broke down and wept. I really believe this was a look of love that broke Peter's heart. I believe it was a look of love that penetrated Peter's heart. It wasn't, my thoughts on it. I don't believe it was a look of condemnation. I was thinking it was a look of love. If I still love you, Peter, no matter that you denied me, no matter that you were afraid to even stand up before a slave girl, I still love you. Because I know in my own life, when I sin, when I blow it, I can sometimes feel and see, not physically, but experience the look of Jesus saying, you shouldn't have done that, but I still love you. And for me, it's almost at times like when I was growing up, one of the things I did not want to do was disappoint my father. I didn't want to disappoint him. I had a lot of respect for him. He had a hard life. He made a lot of sacrifices for me and where I was at, and many times just for us to have clothes on our back. I didn't want to disappoint my father. And I remember one time I really disappointed to him, and he looked at me and he said, Joey, remember who you are in the community because you represent me. And I think in many ways, the Lord also speaks to my heart at times like that and say, I love you. Remember who you are and remember whose you are. I can imagine perhaps Peter was thinking the same thing. And so we see him and it says he broke down and wept. I see this as repentance. I've shared this with you before, and it's a great little thing to remember. It's CPR. If someone is in cardiac arrest, they perform CPR on them to revive them, to bring them back to life. So I want you to remember this. CPR for a Christian, for us. C, confess. P, pray, and R, read. When I blow it, when I'm in a situation that I don't know what's going on, that when I know I've done something I shouldn't, simply confess. That's what Peter did. It's a heart of repentance. Confess what you've done. And then pray. Be in fellowship with God. Go to Him. Don't let whatever it is keep you from going in prayer and speaking with the Heavenly Father. And then read the scripture. Let Him speak to you through His divine word. Confess, pray, and read. It's the right response. And then the last point I want us to look at is the restoration begins. And we didn't read this, but I'm going to skip over to chapter 16. And just the context of this is the resurrection. And so as we look at this in 16, verse 4, the ladies, Mary Magdalene, the mother of Jesus, they go to the tomb to take spices, and they realize the tomb is empty. And there is an angel there, and this is where we pick up the story in verse 4 of chapter 16 of Mark. And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, and it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But this is what I want you to see and focus in on for our sake tonight. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. What I want you to see is the fact that he says, go and tell his disciples and Peter. He specifically gives instruction to Peter, and I believe it is because Peter is such in a broken state. And Jesus is beginning to restore him and saying, even though you denied me, I have not denied you. You're still my child. You're still the rock to me. I'm still going to develop you into being the man of God that's going to shake the foundations of the world for the faith. even though you have failed, I'm going to restore you. He calls him by name. Go tell his disciples and Peter. You see, he was sending Peter a message of hope. All of us need hope. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations that seem hopeless, but if we look up, we will see Christ, who is hope. And that's what is happening in this place. And so, I've learned this years ago, and unfortunately I don't always practice it as I should, but it's this. If I'm not on my knees in the morning, I'm going to fall on my face during the day. And what I mean by that, if I don't start out in the morning talking to my Savior, I'm going to fall because I'm not going to walk with Him. So the encouragement, again, is this. Let us start each day recognizing where life comes from, who our King is, and what He's called us to do. If I'm not on my knees in the morning, I'm going to fall on my face during the day. You see, again, Peter is broken. But this is what I want you to see out of this. This is a beautiful story of restoration. We've seen sort of the ugliness of the night, of what has taken place. Then we see Jesus sending his angel saying, go and tell the disciples, and Peter, I will meet them. I'm coming to them. I'm going to talk with them. I'm going to have fellowship with them after the resurrection. But Peter is broken. But think about this. But out of broken grounds comes a great crop. Some of you know I have a farming background. One of the things you have to do is you have to break up the ground before you can plant a seed. You break up the ground and then you plant a seed. The ground is broken, you plant a seed. Then the seed breaks in the ground and it performs a crop. So out of that one little seed, let's say if you take one corn seed and you plant it, it grows a stalk. And then out of that, it has an ear of corn which has hundreds of more seeds in it. So out of that brokenness, there is life. And when you think about this, a broken cloud brings refreshing rain. You think about you guys as you train and develop, you break down muscles. Why? Because they grow back stronger. So maybe you're at a place of being broken. Trust God, He's going to do something great with that brokenness. If you'll trust Him, if you'll let Him, if you'll rely upon Him in the process. As you know, probably this isn't the end of the story. Peter is restored. I would encourage you to go and read through the rest of the gospel. Jesus comes and meets with him and actually makes breakfast for him and challenges him and restores him back into a leadership position. So what does he do with this? After the resurrection, in the book of Acts, you see Peter becoming the leader that God had called him to and Jesus had empowered him to through the Holy Spirit. I would say he becomes a holy rebel. He is no longer afraid of a servant girl. He's no longer afraid, period, from the standpoint of making a stand for his faith. He actually goes and preaches to the very people who had arrested Christ and crucified him. He makes a bold statement for his faith. And eventually, he will be crucified upside down because of his faith. How did he do that? It was because of the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the same thing we need in our life when we blow it. He becomes bold. He becomes faithful. Not perfect. He still has issues. If you read the story, you'll see some of the issues that come up. But the thing is, he continually lets the Lord help him and work through those issues to make him to be the man God created him to be. He never denies Christ again. He preaches the first sermon after the resurrection, and 3,000 people come to faith. He is a writer of 2 New Testament books. And I went back and was reading some of 1 and 2 Peter, and this stuck out to me. One of the first things that he says when he's writing these letters to some people who are in a bad situation, he talks about, may the grace and the peace of God be with you. May the grace and the peace of God be with you. And I was thinking of those wordings of Peter later on in life. His ministry's coming to an end in many ways. And he's writing an encouraging letter to people who are going through hard times. The first thing he says is, may God's grace and peace be with you. You see, you can't experience God's peace without His grace. the grace must come first. What is grace? It's God's unmerited favor. It's giving us something we don't deserve. And Peter had experienced that in such a profound way, it marked his life, period. Which should be the same thing is true for us. When we experience the grace of God, it brings a peace of God that this world cannot know or understand, because of the relationship aspect of how that comes into our lives through Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. So, in closing, I read this too by a guy named Max Lucado. It's just a little phrase, but it says, Peter denied Christ before he preached Christ. Well, that's pretty good. Peter denied Christ before he preached Christ. And I was thinking about that and saying, wow, isn't it so great that God uses broken people? Here is a man who cursed Jesus to his face, had done life with him for 3 times and even denied he even knew him. But after he was restored, he preached Christ the rest of his life, through his life, through his words, through his deeds, through his actions. Not a perfect man, but a man who, as we often say in Athletes in Action, when he fell forward. And that's what we should do as followers. We're going to fall, but let us fall forward. How do we deal when we fall forward? CPR, confess, pray, and read. So what can we learn in closing? Well, some of the application, guys, is this. Don't let defeat derail you. We all have places of failure in our life. Confusion, getting tired of the battle, confusing questions. But let me tell you this, God is big enough to answer your questions, and he's big enough to hear your questions, and he's not afraid of your questions. I'm sure that Peter was disappointed in his response, but he didn't let that defeat keep him from becoming who God had declared he was, Peter, the rock. Another thing I think we can learn from this is don't place yourself in a compromising position. Do life with wisdom. Peter was around the enemy's fire and he ended up responding like those who didn't know Christ had responded. And again, when you fall, fall forward. Embrace the grace of God. Accept God's forgiveness. Move forward and believe what he says is true, not what anybody else may say or even what the evil one may try to convince you. Believe what God says is true. You see, through this experience, he became an instrument of grace in the hand of God. He experienced grace. He became an instrument of grace. And the same thing is true in our lives as it was in Peter. When we fall, we recognize it, we confess. Jesus restores us, and then we too can be an instrument of grace. We too can be men and women who share the good news about a Savior who overcomes fear by faith. So that's the challenge. It's a beautiful story of restoration, not a failure. It's a beautiful story of God's grace, of Jesus' hand at work, even when he is on trial, using something as ordinary as a rooster crowing to remind Peter who he was and that he was still in control. So I would encourage you guys, too, to look around and maybe see if you hear the crow, if you hear the rooster crowing. It may be a reminder of who God is. He speaks in many ways. Through his words, he speaks to our hearts to remind us that we can have his grace, and because of his grace, we can experience peace.